Good evening. It's good to see all of you this evening, and I always appreciate the opportunity that you've given me in the past and to speak to y'all and study a portion of God's Word with you. Like I said earlier, I always feel like I'm coming home when I come back here, and I thank you for welcoming me and Cheyenne and always being so encouraging and helpful for us. I did a talk at Elliottsville a few weeks ago, a short 10-15 minute talk. And when I was asked to speak today, I was contemplating, you know, what I should speak about, what would be applicable for the congregation here at Black Creek. And it dawned on me just how many young people I noticed when last time I was here, more than I'd noticed in the past anyway. And it just so happened that I spoke on that at Black Creek. And for those of y'all who know me well, you know that there's very few times in my life where I feel like I've said too much. I just don't stop talking about stuff. So I expanded on it a little bit, and I think I'm going to present a similar lesson with a little bit more information here, and hopefully, and that's who it will primarily be directed at, is the young people. Although we know that all Scripture that's given is profitable for all of us and helps us grow spiritually, I'd like tonight to specifically talk to the young people. And the reason that I'm concerned more now than I have been in the past with the plight of young Christians and young people striving to live a Christian life is because I believe that temptation is more open now than it was in the past. I'm not saying that there's anything that's new now, because we know that that's not true. The Bible clearly says that there's nothing new under the sun, and there's no temptation that we've experienced except what is common to man. But I do think that this new generation, this time in our lives, that evil has a certain openness and acceptance to it that we just haven't experienced. And it started a little bit when I was in high school, when I was in college, but now I feel like it's more out there than it ever has been. And for that reason, I think that young people have a harder time following God now, or more, they're tempted more, rather, than they have been in the past. And because of that, there's a lot of negativity directed towards young people. And you hear a lot of people that talk down to this generation because of these things. But primarily, the first thing I'd like to say before I delve into the lesson is that young people, we want you to know that we love you. We absolutely love you. And we admire you and are inspired by you. And the reason that I say that is because you're here. You've chosen to live a godly life, and you're here worshiping on Sunday afternoon when there are so many other people that are your age who haven't chosen to do that. And I think that's remarkable. And I don't want you to think that that goes unnoticed by other Christians, because I know sometimes it can feel like it does. You hear a lot of the negative, but we want you to know that we know you're here, and you're appreciated, and we love you for that. With that being said, I'd like to delve into my lesson a little bit tonight, and I just want to offer some encouragement and some words that might be beneficial to our young people in their walk with God. And the first thing I'd like to admonish our young people to do is to remember your Creator in the days of your youth. Turn over to the scripture we just read a minute ago, Ecclesiastes chapter 12. We'll read verses 1 through 7. The book of Ecclesiastes is wrapping up at this point, and the author here, the preacher, is giving his final words on his thoughts, his musings on life as a whole. And this is part of his conclusion. Remember now your Creator in the days of your youth, before the difficult days come, and the years draw near when you say, I have no pleasure in them. While the sun and the light and the moon and the stars are not darkened, and the clouds do not return after the rain. And the day when the keepers of the house tremble and the strong men bow down, when the grinders cease because they are few, when those that look through the windows grow dim, when the doors are shut in the streets and the sound of grinding is low, when one rises up at the sound of a bird and all the daughters of music are brought low. Also they are afraid of height and terrors in the way, when the almond tree blossoms and the grasshopper is a burden and desire fails. For man goes to his eternal home, and the mourners go about the streets. Remember your Creator before the silver cord is loosed, or the golden bowl is broken, or the pitcher shattered at the fountain, or the wheel broken at the well. Then the dust will return to earth as it was, and the spirit will return to God who gave it. Basically, in very poetic language here, the writer is saying, remember your Creator, remember who your God is, before the difficult days come about. What does he mean by that? As you grow older, life does get difficult. And I can't tell you how many people I've seen grow older, and because of the things that happen in life, you know, sickness, death, different struggles, and they become very bitter, and they become cynical, and people become angry a lot of times as they become older. And what the writer's saying here is before those days come, before you see the real ugliness that's in the world, remember your Creator. Set the foundation in your heart now that there is a God, that's who you're going to serve, and that's how you're going to decide to live your life. Because if you wait to make that decision when you become older, there's a good chance that you will become cynical and angry, that your vision will become dim because of all these worldly troubles. Remember your Creator now. Set the foundation in your heart now before you grow older. But remember your Creator while you're young. This is a foundation that has to be set early in life. Or otherwise, when the storms of life come around, then that your figurative house will fall. Turn over to Matthew chapter 4. I'm going to read verses 24 through 27. Matthew chapter 4, verses 24 through 27. Actually, I'm sorry, Matthew chapter 7, verses 24 through 27. Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rains descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it fell, and great was its fall. And that goes right back to what we were talking about. What is your foundation built on, and when did you decide to set that foundation? Do you wait until the storms of life come and blow and beat on your spiritual house before you decide to lay a foundation in God? No, we should go ahead and set that foundation now, so that when the storms of life come, and they will come, they come for everybody, that your house is on the rock, that's God. And then when the winds come and the floods came and beat on your house, that it won't fall. Also, turn over a couple chapters to Matthew 13. Matthew chapter 13, verses, I'm going to read verses 3 through 9. And then I'm also going to read verses 18 through 23. Then he spoke many things to them in parables, saying, behold, a sower went out to sow, and as he sowed, some seed fell by the wayside, and birds came and devoured them. Some fell on stony places where they did not have much earth, and they immediately sprang up because they had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, they were scorched because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up and choked them. But others fell on good ground and yielded a crop, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. He who has ears, let him hear. Now, let's look at verses 18 through 23. And I want to pay special attention to verse 21. Therefore, hear the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the words of the kingdom and does not understand it, then the wicked one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. This is he who receives seed by the wayside. But he who receives the seed on the stony places, this is he who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Pay attention here. Yet he has no root in himself, but endures only for a while. For when tribulations or persecution arises because of the word, immediately he stumbles. Now he who receives seed among the thorns is he who receives the word, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becomes unfruitful. But he who receives the seed on the good ground is he who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and produces some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. And this here, this sums up the importance of laying a good foundation while you're young. To remember your Creator while you're young and having a good foundation. Because if the seed is planted on ground that doesn't have a good, and it doesn't have a good root, it doesn't have a firm, deep root in who you are, then it'll be dried up. When persecution arises or when bad things happen, when your faith does not have a root, it dries up. And that's something to keep in mind. So young people, that's the first thing I'd like to ask you, is to remember your Creator in the days of your youth. And like it says in Proverbs 22, verse 6, if you do these things while you're young, train up a child in the way he should go, when he is old, he will not depart from it. So it has to be set now. And I can't emphasize the urgency of that enough. The second thing I'd like to say tonight is to ask you to purpose in your heart to serve the Lord. To make a decision now in your heart and decide that you're going to live this way and that you're going to serve God. And the best example I can think of, and it's really the whole book of Daniel, but Daniel in particular is who I think about when I think of purposing in my heart to serve God. Turn over to Daniel chapter 1. Daniel chapter 1. I'm going to read the first 17 verses. This whole book is filled with different examples of people deciding ahead of time to serve God, and then when the time comes around, they make the right decision. But I'm just going to read the very first account, and we'll talk about the rest of them afterwards. In the first year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came to Jerusalem and besieged it. And the Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand with some of the articles of the house of God, which he carried into the land of Shinar, to the house of his God. And he brought the articles into the treasure house of his God. Then the king instructed Ashpenaz, the master of the eunuchs, to bring some of the children of Israel, and some of the king's descendants, and some of the nobles, young men in whom there was no blemish, but good-looking, gifted in all wisdom, possessing knowledge, and quick to understand, who had the ability to serve in the king's palace, and whom they might teach the language and literature of the Chaldeans. And the king appointed for them a daily provision of the king's delicacies, and of the wine which he drank, and 3 years of training for them, so that at the end of that time they might serve before the king. Now from among those sons of Judah were Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. To them the chief of the eunuchs gave names. He gave Daniel the name Belteshazzar, to Hananiah Shadrach, to Mishael Meshach, and to Azariah Abednego. But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with a portion of the king's delicacies, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore he requested some of the chief of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. Now God had brought Daniel into favor and goodwill of the chief of the eunuchs. And the chief of the eunuchs said to Daniel, I fear my lord the king, who has appointed you food and drink. For why should he see your faces looking worse than the young men your age? Then you would endanger my head before the king. So Daniel said to the steward, to whom the chief of the eunuchs had said over Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, please test your servants for 10 days, and let them give us vegetable to eat and water to drink. Then let our appearance be examined before you, and the appearance of the young men who eat the portion of the king's delicacies, and as you see fit, so deal with your servants. So we consented with them in this matter, and tested them for 10 days. At the end of the 10 days, their features appeared better and fatter in the flesh than all the young men who ate the portion of the king's delicacies. Thus the steward took away their portion of delicacies and the wine which they were given to drink, and gave them vegetables. As for these four young men, God gave them knowledge and skill in all literature and wisdom, and Daniel had understanding in all visions and all dreams. So, just to get some context, the children of Israel are in captivity at this point in Babylon, and King Nebuchadnezzar has taken some of the royal, you know, young people of royal blood, good-looking young men, smart young men, into be tutored by his eunuchs. He wanted them to be assimilated in the Babylonian culture. You can even see here where he changed their names from their Israelite names to Babylonian names. which ironically all have to do with Babylonian gods. They have them studying Babylonian literature. They have them eating Babylonian food. And in the old law, the Israelites had to eat a certain way. They worshipped a certain way. Most of them were even named a certain way, right? So they're having them assimilating this whole culture. And some of the things they're asking them to do, they can't do because their God had instructed them not to. God had said in the Old Testament, God had set very clear guidelines on what the Israelites were to eat and what they were to drink. And now they're being asked to defile that. And Daniel purposed in his heart ahead of time that he would not do that. He would not defile his body with the king's delicacies. And to a lot of people, that might not seem like a big deal. But if you think about it, this could not only mean death for Daniel, but his overseer, the eunuch who was in charge of making sure he was to learn what he was supposed to learn, to eat what he was supposed to eat, and all that stuff. It could mean death for him and his friends and everybody. He could lose his life just because he didn't want to defile his body with the food that the king wanted to make him eat. But he decided ahead of time, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to serve God. And after the trial that they have here, he said, you know, let me eat what I'm supposed to eat, what God has told me to eat, and test us and see if we look better than the other subjects who have been eating what you're asking to eat. And they look better because of God's grace. But that's the type of courage that I want to encourage our young people to exhibit as they go out into the world. Purpose in your heart ahead of time that you're going to live the way that God wants you to live, regardless of the outcome, regardless of the consequences. Go ahead and make the choice and purpose in your heart to serve God. And this book is filled with different examples of people who have purpose in their heart to serve God. Later on, they set up a golden image and they played music, and when the music played, everyone in the land was to bow down to the image and to worship the image. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego refused. They purposed in their heart that they would not bow down and serve the image. They refused to do it. And they were thrown into a furnace, a fiery furnace. And through God's grace, they lived through it. Then they tried to entrap them again. The king made a decree that no one could pray to God or any god for the next, 30 days except for the king. The king was the only god that they could pray to. And once again, Daniel decided ahead of time, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to serve my God. I'm only going to serve my God. And he was thrown into the lion's den. And he lived through that. But you know what he said? Even if I don't live through this, I still won't bow down and worship you. And that's an example for our young people. Purpose in your heart now the God that you will serve and how you're going to live. And stick with that regardless of the consequences. And if you're not blessed in this life, then you will be in the next. And that's a guarantee. Job said the same thing in Job 31, verse 1. He says, I've made a covenant with my eyes that I will not look on a virgin. Job made a covenant and said, regardless of what happens, I will not look to lust after a woman. Period. Dot. And that's what I'd like to admonish all our young people to do. Please, remember your Creator in the days of your youth and purpose in your heart to serve God and no one else. And the third point that I'd like to make tonight, and the third piece of encouragement I'd like to offer to our young people, is to let no one despise your youth. Turn over to 1 Timothy chapter 4. 1 Timothy chapter 4. I'm going to read verses 12 through 16. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 12 through 16. Let no one despise your youth, but be an example to the believers in word and conduct and spirit and love and spirit and faith and purity. So I come, give attention to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Do not neglect the gift that is in you, which was given to you by prophecy with the laying on of hands of the eldership. Meditate on these things. Give yourself entirely to them, that your progress may be evident to all. Take heed to yourself and to the doctrine. Continue in them. For in doing this, you will save both yourself and those who hear you. So Paul's saying to Timothy here, let no one despise your youth. What does that mean? Timothy was a young man. And Timothy was charged with preaching the gospel to large groups of people. And Paul said, let no one, and that really includes Timothy himself, let no one look down on you for being young and serving God. And that's what it boils down to. Like we talked about earlier, the trend that we see in a lot of young people nowadays is to not serve God, to serve their self. You know, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. But and when people, when a young person makes a decision to serve God, a lot of those people look down on you. Think, you know, when you're young, you're supposed to sow your wild oats, have fun, serve yourself. But Paul says to Timothy, let no one despise your youth when talking about serving God. So you're never too young to serve God. You're never too young to take part in worship. You're never too young to evangelize. And the Bible is full of pictures of young people who've decided to serve God. If Daniel, the person we just talked about, was very young when he was taken from his homeland. And he made big life-changing decisions, life-threatening decisions to serve his God, regardless. Another example I'd like to look at is in Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2. I'm going to read verses 39 through 49. Luke chapter 2, verses 39 through 49. And this is talking about Mary and Joseph and Jesus here. So when they had performed all these things according to the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee, to their own city, Nazareth. And the child grew and became strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. And his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went to Jerusalem according to the custom of the feast. And when they had finished the days as they returned, the boy Jesus lingered in Jerusalem. And Joseph and his mother did not know it, but supposing him to have been in the company, they went a day's journey and sought him among their relatives and acquaintances. So when they did not find him, they returned to Jerusalem seeking him. Now so it was that after 3 days they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the teachers, both listening to them and asking them questions. And all who heard them were astonished at his understanding and answers. So when they saw him, they were amazed. And his mother said to him, son, why have you done so this to us? Look, your father and I sought you anxiously. And he said to them, why did you seek me? Did you not know that I must be about my father's business? What a profound answer. Jesus at 12 years old, while other kids were doing, you know, a number of different other things, and their minds are on other things, Jesus himself was in the temple with the priest talking about his father. He was about his father's business. And I say that to say that, you know, the perfect example we have here, even at 12 years old, was not too young to try to serve God. You know, and neither are you. If you speak where God speaks, and if you're silent where God is silent, and the Bible is your God, it doesn't matter. You have nothing to fear. You don't have to worry about what your friends think. You don't have to worry about what your colleagues think, your classmates, or anybody else. If you follow the Bible and speak where God speaks, and you're about His business before anybody else's, then you have nothing to fear. Let no one despise your youth. Take up your cross at a young age and follow God. So in conclusion, I'd like to encourage all of us to remember our Creator, not just throughout our youth, but throughout our entire life, to have that deep root, that foundation when the winds and the storms come through our life, that we're not blown over, that we don't wither and die, but that we were founded on the rock. And please remember the purpose. Let's remember the purpose in our heart. Before the situation ever comes up where we're tempted to sin, purpose in our heart to serve God. And then to our young people, let no one despise your youth. Choose to serve God now listen to what he says, follow his word, and don't have any fear. And I was thinking, what really got me thinking about all this is one night we had a younger guy at the Elliottsville congregation, and he'd been baptized maybe 3 weeks earlier. And he got up during one of our song services, and he led the song, Sanctuary. And I got to really thinking about that, and I got kind of choked up. I hate to admit it, but I did. I had to walk out. But if you look at what the mindset of most young people, you know, the mindset of most young people nowadays, it's on everything except for God. Everything else. From, you know, any immoral type of thing you can think of, their mind's on anything else except God. And here's this young guy who's leading us in a song which is literally a prayer to God to keep him holy. It's literally a prayer in song. Lord, make me a sanctuary, pure and holy. And that's what he's thinking about. And the final admonishment I'll give to our young people is to pray that prayer and don't stop. Don't stop praying that, because it's not easy. But remember your Creator in the days of your youth. If you would, turn to number 19 in your song books, in your supplemental books, rather. Number 19. We'll sing both verses.
Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary, pure and holy, tried and true, with thanksgiving, I'll be a living sanctuary for you. Lord, teach children to stop the fighting, start uniting, all as one. Let's get together, loving forever, sanctuary for you. Sent the Savior, heart and soul, Lord, for our land. It is you, Lord, who knows my weakness. You refine us with your hand. Oh, Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary, pure and holy, tried and true, with thanksgiving, I'll be a living sanctuary for you.
Don't stop praying that prayer. Always pray for God to keep you holy, to help you remain holy, and to remember your Creator throughout all the days of your life. If you haven't begun your walk with God this evening, and you're not part of this blessed, this holy nation, this royal priesthood, who has all of His blessings, and who He has set apart as holy, and if there's anything else we can do for you this evening, please come forward as we stand and as we sing.